You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. And hey, listen, by the way, this is the News Talk giant of North Alabama, and the biggest show across Alabama afternoons is this one, Right Side Radio, and that's because of this amazing audience we've got. So thank you to all you Right Side ruffians out there who make this show worth being a part of, and that is truly coming from the heart when I say that. That's why I'm so excited, and Copper brought it up earlier, that we just hit 10,000 downloads on the podcast version of the show, which you can always find at our website, rightsideradio.org. And how cool is that? I mean, like I said before, I don't know what a lot sounds like, but 10,000 feels good. So I think we'll be giving out T-shirts. That's right. Copper just jumps in with a whoop. but listen, it's just fun to be a part of it. Hey, I want to go right now. I've got somebody sitting here in the studio with me, a friend of mine who I've known for many years, and I've really come to appreciate his expertise in the realm of employment law and human resources. So Mike Perkins is the owner of FrontlineHR.com, or FrontlineHR, I'm sorry, which you can find at FrontlineHR.com. He's a longtime attorney. He's got 30 years of experience as both an employment attorney, a senior certified HR professional. He got his undergraduate degree from the University of Alabama and his law degree from Florida State. And he is literally called upon by major corporations all over the nation. You just got back from what, New York, I think, didn't you, Mike? Is that where you were from, New York? Were you at New York?
So many places in the last few weeks. Out west, up north, in Alabama, just a little bit of everywhere, to be honest with you.
Well, welcome home, Mike.
It's good to be home for a day or two.
I'm sure your sweet wife doesn't mind having you around. But listen, but Mike, you have the unique perspective of not only knowing and understanding the law and dealing with it for a long time, but you're out there seeing people in the midst of all this vaccine madness nationwide. I mean, this is the hot topic everywhere, isn't it?
It truly is. It goes hand in hand with a perfect storm that employers are dealing with right now. And the first and foremost thing is they can't find people to work. Being able to hire and then retain good employees is a national crisis right now. Every industry, every part of the country, doesn't matter whether it's manufacturing, professional, warehousing, small businesses, hospitality certainly has been hit hard. But they can't find people that want to work, that will continue to show up day after day, and that really are motivated to work. And then you add the vaccine requirement, and you've got employers in a complete panic. And I mean, from one end of the country, conservative, liberal, it doesn't matter. It's a true crisis for employers. How do we deal with this mandate and still keep our employees?
Well, let me ask you this before we even get into the nuts and bolts of it, because I know there's been some new regulatory authority that just came out even today. But that being said, let me ask you, because I've been fussing about one particular company here in our area. I even did my monologue today talking about them in part, which seems to be having a rather callous attitude towards it. What is your sense of where your clients are? Are you seeing people that are just hating the fact they've been put in this position, or could they care less because dollar signs are attached?
No, they all hate the fact they've been put in this position. It's just a question now of, are we going to comply? Are we not going to comply? What is the risk if we don't comply? And of course, I have to give them conservative advice as well. There's definitely a risk if you don't comply. If you're a federal contractor, you could potentially lose your contracts. If you're a non-federal contractor and you've got over 100 employees, you still have the risk of being hit with some significant OSHA fines. The Infrastructure Act that's pending has some enhanced OSHA fines built into it, as I understand, for non-compliance with vaccine mandates. And so an employer's really in a between a rock and a hard place. And I've had some that have told me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I have others that tell me, I'm not going to do it. And it's really a tough situation to put them in. Do I break the law, or do I go along and risk losing half my employees that I'm already shorthanded? It's a crisis, and even without the vaccine mandate, it's a crisis. But when you add that to it, it just enhances it.
I talked to somebody, it was anecdotal today, but I believe it's true, a friend of a friend basically has a major construction firm that has a niche in the market and for commercial construction, and they just turned down a government contract worth $20 million because there was no way they were going to force their employees to vaccinate to the extent that was required, and so they walked away from business. I mean, good business.
I can understand that. And those that already have it are now stuck with the situation of sometimes they have maybe 50, 60, 70% of their workforce is not vaccinated, and they're stuck with a mandate where they're already getting from their prime contractor or from the government entity itself saying by December 8th, you've got to be in compliance or your people can't come on site. So then what do you do? If you're already shorthanded, half of your people aren't vaccinated and refuse to get vaccinated, then what do you do? And that's the hard place that they're in.
Well, and so I think we all understand the hard place, and I get it. I would anticipate that not every business owner is as callous as the one that I talked about earlier, or is rushing towards the mandate as opposed to just trying to hope and hold out. But in the end, Mike, there are exemptions. I mean, Title VII, the U.S. Constitution, the state constitution for that matter, do provide for accommodation for religious and medical exemptions in this case, and especially if they're religious. But what are you seeing in that trend? Because some businesses are granting them, some businesses are denying all of them. I mean, what it's supposed to be liberally construed in favor of the employee.
Well, Phil, usually the government is very much in favor of employers providing religious accommodations as long as they don't pose an undue hardship for the business. I think business owners are now in the trying to make a decision of how liberally should we apply these religious exemption requests. I know many of them have prepared forms and have sent them out to their workers and said, you know, here's the requirement. We've got to be vaccinated by December 8th. Or you're fully vaccinated by December 8th. And unless you have a medical excuse as to why, and that has to be from a doctor, or that you propose a religious exemption request, that you have a seriously and conscientiously held religious exemption, and then you've got to explain that. And now the government's provided some steps, the EOC's provided some steps that you go through in reviewing those religious exemptions. And the instruction has been, you know, you've got to put people through a dialogue. You've got to have a dialogue with them about what this exemption's based on, whether it's a seriously held exemption request or whether it's something they just came up with, if it appears to be submitted as part of a packet with 40 other employees that who aren't like-minded, then there are all kind of factors that they want the employers to look at. I've had employers say, I've had attorneys even say, we're going to, you know, very strictly look at these exemption requests because we don't want to open the door to all kind of, you know, just kind of weak exemption request. I've had others that say, I'm going to grant everyone that comes in the door because I don't want to take the risk of getting sued by the employee for not granting their religious exemption request. Who am I? Who am I to question whether their exemption request is real or not? And so, you know, they asked me, well, what do you do? And I said, you know, I don't know. And that's the answer. I don't know. Other than you give people the opportunity to request the exemption.
I think at that point, though, what you're saying, though, as an HR specialist, as somebody with your background, if you don't know the answer, then truthfully, that would, to me, put some discretion in the hands of the employer. The employer can choose to grant all of them, and they would be well within their rights to do so as long as they – and let me ask you this, Mike, before we hit the time for the first break. The Attorney General issued guidance just the other day, Attorney General Steve Marshall. Within that, he addressed the fact that we've got this potential accommodation for religious exemptions. And he says in his guidance, the employer should not take the liberty to probe into the validity of an employee's religious beliefs, including the motives or reasons for holding the belief. And he encouraged them to go ahead and grant reasonable requests for exemptions. Basically, he said, don't overdo yourself in trying to investigate. But then you've also got the fact that within the broader range of the law, you've seen some authority that came out even today, and we got a couple minutes for the break. What just happened today? Anything that addresses that kind of thing?
Well, let me go back to your first question or example first, is that, you know, I understand what Attorney General Marshall has done, and a lot of employers are cheering on the lawsuits that have been filed by attorneys general all over the country, hoping that the courts will intervene, maybe grant an injunction, maybe provide some guidance for employers. Because even if a state passes a law or executive order that says you don't have to follow these mandates, the federal government's taking the position that our mandates prevail, particularly if you're a government contractor, over whatever the states may do. So everyone's watching right now to see what's going to happen in the courts and hoping that the courts will provide some clarification. And a lot of employers are certainly hoping they'll provide a stay of this order so that at least things can be sorted out.
At least
temporarily. It's total disarray. Yeah, absolutely. It's total disarray. Now, that's for government contractors. The employers that are not government contractors are bound by a different set of regulations that still have not been finalized, and we're waiting on guidance from that.
But do we have a timeline for OSHA to do that?
Well, the thought would be that it would have been done by now. Usually it takes OSHA just, you know, when at least to come up with proposed guidelines when they get an order like this from the executive branch. But we still haven't seen those guidelines, and so then there will be a time frame put into place. But OSHA will have fine abilities to impose fines and everything else for noncompliance. So, but the employer, the rule for employers who are not federal contractors that have over 100 employees is a little broader and there's a little bit more wiggle room for employers because you can allow testing, weekly testing as an alternative to the vaccine. The federal contractor rules don't allow that. It says vaccine or not.
Wow.
The non-federal contractors, it's you can either get the vaccine or you have to do weekly testing. Then the question is, who pays for it? How quickly can you get them? All of those things.
Well, listen, Mike, questions. We're going to run to a quick break. Copper, go ahead and hit that break music. But we're going to go ahead and run to a quick break. When we get back, I know as you're walking into the time here with me today, you had some new stuff that came off just today. So let's see if we can grab hold of that in the segment we have after this and maybe dissect it a little bit and give something, I don't know, new, tangible, freaky to the audience. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I'm here with Mike Perkins, who's a longtime employment law attorney, HR specialist, dealing with this stuff all over the nation right now. Alabama's no different than anybody else. I'm just telling you, it's wacky everywhere you go. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I'm back here in the studio right now with my friend Mike Perkins. He's a 30 years of experience as a employment law attorney. He's a HR consultant. He's a specialist who basically travels the nation right now. Just got back from, New York, I think you said, Mike, and you got points beyond.
And back up Vermont next
week.
Oh,
my gosh, Vermont. Well, listen, Mike, you and I were talking off the air a moment ago, and you said that there's been some new federal regulatory guidance. It doesn't have the binding effect of law, but it's guidance, but it's almost like clear as mud. So what's new on that sheet of marked up paper you got right there?
It's actually muddier than mud, Phil. So the Safer Federal Workforce Task Force has been the ones that have been putting the guidances together for these new provisions by the administration. And so they came out today with some guidance for federal contractors on what do you do if your employees refuse to conform to the vaccination requirements. And by the way, in order to be in line for the December 8th guideline that most federal contracts are calling for now, you have to have your final vaccine by November 22nd. So the deadline is really, because I think there has to be, 14-day period pass after the last one for them to recognize it as a valid vaccine.
So it's coming up one way or the other.
So, I mean, employers are right now at this critical point of what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And so this new guidance came out from the Safer Federal Workforce Task Force today, and it says, what do you do if an employee refuses to be vaccinated? And they basically say, well, you should use your own enforcement mechanisms to decide how you're going to enforce this. Which they said, well, you could look at your handbook, or if you have a collective bargaining agreement, what it requires. Well, most handbooks and collective bargaining agreements do not even conceive of anything like this. So then the next thing it says is one model you could use is follow what's being done by the federal agencies themselves.
Oh, yeah, right.
And it says
blind leading the blind, Mike.
Well, here it is. Utilize an enforcement policy that encourages compliance, including a limited period, not defined, of counseling and education, followed by additional disciplinary measures if necessary. Removal of the employee occurs only after continued noncompliance. So they're giving us a little bit, employers a little bit of wiggle room on stretching this out a little bit, but they're not telling them how long. They're not telling them exactly what they need to be doing. And then later on in the guidance, they say, well, if you have noncompliance, you could lose your federal contract. So it's a real mess.
It's a soul crusher. It's a business crusher. And if you spend all your time growing a company and you have 125 employees on federal contracts and it's part of the thriving economy for whatever town you're in, you're at risk of seeing all that go away because of a single mandate over a shot.
Well, like I said, the bigger overarching, I don't know if it's a bigger issue, but the overarching issue is that they are already shorthanded, and then when their workforce, particularly in the construction trades, 50-60% of their workforce is not vaccinated, and they go, you put the mandate into place, and the employees scatter to go find other jobs, which are abundant because everyone's desperate for employees.
Right.
So the larger employers and the government contractor employers are going to have a really hard time holding on to their people. Because if they don't want to get the shot and they can't qualify or don't qualify medically or religious or for a religious exemption, then they're going to go find somewhere else to work.
Well, so listen, let's say I'm an employer as we wrap this thing up. I'm an employer. Let's say I've got 125 guys and we build some kind of weapon system for the Department of Defense. And I look at it and say, fellas, 60% of you got the shot. I get it. 40% of you don't. 40% of you better have some religion. Come to me with your religion, and let me sign off on it so we can get back to work. Is that something that I can do, or then am I out of pocket to do all the testing for that 40% to keep them on the job? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't tell you to do that. Because I give pretty conservative advice to my clients, but I will say that I have had, again, I was listening to a debate between an attorney and an employer at the SHRM conference in Tuscaloosa the other day, and one was saying, apply the religious exemption liberally, and the other one was saying, no, don't apply religious. There's no agreement on that. There's no consensus. It's a risk any way you look at it.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I would hope that the liberally construed and the error in favor of those who are aggrieved is the way that we're going to wind up seeing us go most of the time. But, Mike, thanks for your time. And you are an expert. I'm going to call on you more. You know that, don't you?
Well, I'm sorry I can't give some really easy advice for someone to follow on this issue, but it is probably one of the most complicated issues
that
any employer and any attorney and any HR professional is dealing with in this day and time.
And it's clear as mud. All right, folks. That's Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and we will be right back.